Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is what the sovereign Lord showed me: a basket of ripe fruit. And so Amos here receives a fourth vision from God: a basket of ripe fruit. And he says in verse 2, the Bible says, this is God, "What do you see, Amos?" "A basket of ripe fruit," I answered. Then the Lord said to me, "The time is ripe for my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. It's time to pick them." In other words, God will not wait any longer. His mercy towards Israel is finished. 3, "In that day," declares the sovereign Lord, "the songs of the temple will turn to wailing, many, many bodies flung everywhere, silence." And so God says songs of joy will be replaced by sad songs. Laughter will be replaced by crying. And then there will be a still and sad silence. 4, "Hear this, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor of the land." And God is still angry. He's still angry over what they're doing, and they haven't stopped. You know, when the wealthy do not help the poor, that's a crime against God. When they take advantage of the poor, it's a crime against God. That's the way he sees it anyway. 5, saying, "When will the new moon be over, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath be ended, that we may market wheat, skimping the measure, boosting the price, and cheating with dishonest scales?" Think God doesn't see dishonest business practices? He sees. He sees where when a customer, you know, switches the price tag on an item. He sees when the merchandise manager or the store manager is selling a flawed product for full price. He sees that stuff. And here the wealthy merchants practice dishonesty in their business. For one thing, their scales were not set the right way. They were set so that the people ended up paying more for little, for less, I should say. They were paying for more than what they really received, and that angered God. 6, buying the poor with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, selling even the sweepings with the wheat. And so God is disgusted with the slavery of the poor. And he also saw how the ungodly merchants would mix in garbage, sweepings off the floor, with their wheat, so that it would weigh more on the scale, selling trash for food. 7, the Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, "I will never forget anything they have done." Their sins are always before God, angering him. Verse 8, "Will not the land tremble for this, and all who live in it mourn? The whole land will rise like the Nile. It will be stirred up and then sink like the river of Egypt." God is promising Israel an earthquake. Israel will become a land of death, the survivors only mourning for their loved ones and their friends who have died. Verse 9, "In that day," declares the sovereign Lord, "I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight." And this is a metaphor for God coming in judgment, a common metaphor used in many places in the Old Testament and in the book of Revelation as well. Verse 10, "I will turn your religious feast into mourning and all your singing into weeping. I will make all of you wear sackcloth and shave your heads. I will make that time like mourning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. The happy holidays are a thing of the past." The happy holiday get-togethers will be a thing of the past. Can you imagine God saying that about us? Thanksgiving Day will come. Christmas Eve will come. Christmas Day will come. Super Bowl Sunday will come. But there will be no happiness because you have sinned against me. And so these happy holiday get-togethers will be no more. Death, sadness, and mourning will take the place of happiness. 11, the days are coming, declares the Sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. You know, during those miserable times of judgment, the people are going to look for words of hope and words of encouragement from God, but they won't find it. There will be no prophet to speak the word of God. They drove the prophets away because they despised God's word. They didn't want to hear the word of God. They told all the prophets to get a hike or take a hike, or they killed them or they persecuted them. So when trouble hits, they're going to want the word of God. No word of God. It wouldn't be good news for them anyway. It says in verse 12, men will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. Sometimes I think America's in that situation right now. Good, solid churches that really teach the word of God instead of watered-down mush that tries to pass as Bible sermons are few and far between. There is a famine in the word of the word of God today. And people will walk long distances to find God's word. And they won't care how much they have to sacrifice to find a message of hope, and yet their efforts will fail. 13. In that day, the lovely young women and the strong young men will faint because of thirst. And so even the healthiest among them will be weak for lack of food and water. 14. They who swear by the shame of Samaria, that would be idols in Samaria, or say, as surely as your God lives, O Dan, or surely as the God of Beersheba lives, they will fall, never to rise again. And so these are all places of idolatry in Israel. And the false gods who the Israelites trusted and worshipped will fail them. They have failed them. They don't know it yet, but they will when God's wrath appears. And the punishment will be severe. But it is needed. It will put an end to idolatry in Israel once and for all. Next time, we finish the book of Amos in chapter 9. Until then, so long, everyone.